Here you leave today and enter the world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy. Welcome to this episode of Free to Flare Co. podcast. I'm your host, Joey Page, and today is going to be a very magical one. And by magic, I mean Disney magic. We're going to be talking about the Disneyland and Disney California Adventure Parks in Anaheim, California. And if you're new and you're trying to consider this trip, this is the top level episode introductory of things to consider as you start to budget out your trip. There will be many other smaller, more in-depth Disney episodes we'll do about food and all these different things, but consider this to be the one if you haven't been in a long time or you're considering going, and what are the things as you budget your trip out to see how you can save money, or maybe you want to wait and delay the trip a year to go and make sure you're not breaking the bank, because we all know that that's really what is most important, is that we are being financially responsible, that you're going to be okay. And that is what my goal here is. I have been to these Disney parks since I was a little girl. I've gone in all the different scenarios with my family when I was little. I've been with friends. I've been as an adult. I would not consider myself a Disney adult. I'm just someone that really does enjoy the magic. And I love most recently being able to bring my little girls and just see the magic beaming through their eyes. It's so adorable. So let's get started. For those who aren't even sure about the parks, that seems like a good place to go. So Disneyland, the original park created by Walt Disney, great American innovator. And this park has all of the original cartoons. It's got all of the fun, different lands, a fantasy land, a frontier land. And as you go through and you enter, you've got Main Street USA, a walk back in time, if you will, during the early 1900s. And then you can then go into these different lands and experience a lot of really fun rides. A lot of these rides are definitely for the little kids out there. And it's a little weird that as time's gone on, it seems like more and more adults are just going by themselves. I guess you do you, but it's a beautiful place. It is so much fun. And then on top of that, you've got what I like to call bougie carnival food, like some of the best carnival food you will ever have in your entire life at these parks. It's crazy. Like, take the Pepto-Bismol, buckle up, let's go kind of vibes. You're not going to want to miss out unless you're on a budget. But so Disneyland's so fun, great for little kids. The music, the smells, everything is, they've thought of all of it to make sure that you can just really be immersed in all of the fun characters that your kids know and love. Now there's another park right next door called Disney's California Adventure. This was built years later, was started by when Michael Eisner was in his era of running Disney. And it has some of that Pixar magic where those Pixar movies came out with John Lasseter. And so there's a bunch of that sprinkled throughout. They've now added the Avengers campus and you could see some superheroes. You've also got that taste of California. There's a pier there where you can enjoy what it would be like if you were to visit the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk or the San Diego Boardwalk, those ocean piers, if you will. And you've got a lot of fun little kids ride, very kid-friendly park still. So if you're like, I don't know if I should do this with my kids, absolutely take your little kids. I have taken a six-month-old on the Little Mermaid ride. That's just because you just sit on that thing and it just goes. You know, you can take your little kids. What's a little different about that park, though, is for those who want to celebrate like the Napa Valley of California, they have this beautiful Napa Terrace and you can enjoy a little bit of wine or some lovely craft beers, you know, Russian River, you know, type stuff. And so in other words, they have a liquor license. You can buy wine, beer, or spirits at this park. And I have never been to this park where I'm like, this is terrible. Everyone's drunk and trashy. It's still a very tasteful experience. So if anyone's a little nervous about that, please don't be. It's literally a mom. I lived this. I was that mom. I got a glass of champagne. I had my little six-month-old. She was a formula baby. But, you know, I sat down in the beautiful shade of this Napa Terrace and I enjoyed a little glass of champagne while I fed my sweet little nugget her afternoon meal and we were off to the races. So it's like a very fun vibe to give you the vibe. All right. So these are the parks. You've got Disneyland and DCA. Now let's get into the big picture for your budgeting. Don't break the bank to go. So many people I've heard go into credit card debt. They'll put it all on a credit card and pay it off for years. Don't do that. If you can't afford to go, your kids aren't going to know any different. It's okay. And, you know, don't let that be a reflection of you, like you're disappointing as a parent. It's okay. So I want to make sure you feel good about that. One great way, as you do go to these parks, to save some money and be responsible and not, you know, overindulge too much, is to purchase gift cards in advance. If you purchase a Disney Parks gift card, you can get them at the store, grocery store. You could get them at the big box stores, Costco. That is a good way for you to stay responsible and be like, okay, these are for our food, or maybe it's for our merchandise. And once it's gone, it's spent. We're not going over. That's what it is. Good way to try to manage your budget. They're a good tip for you. Now let's talk about the time of year to go. These are things to consider because time of year will affect the ticket prices, which God forbid they be the same across the board, but you know, they just love to make a buck. Disney loves to make a buck. But, you know, ticket prices are going to fluctuate based on the time of year. It could be way more expensive one day and the next day not as much. But I break it up into three different times. So during the spring and summertime, you're going to have likely the lower ticket prices compared to two other times I'll share. But also be mindful that it may be more crowded, but it also will be hot. And it's not a humid hot, you know, it's going to be just, it's very manageable. We've been when it's been like 85 degrees and you bring fans, you bring some misters, you have your water, you're set. It's great. It will not ruin the day. There are plenty of places at those parks that are air conditioned and a lot of great shade. So do not let that make or break a trip. If you did plan it and it says it's going to be 95 degrees, I promise you, you will be okay at this park or both parks. Now, the other two times of year are fall, Halloween. They right around mid-August to from mid-August to the first week of November, they will set up and transform the parks to have this really fun, cute fall Halloween decorations all over. It's darling. Now, the piece of that is they add this extra ticket called a boobash ticket. It might have changed over the years, the name of it, but it's this extra ticket you'd have to pay for to go to a party for trick-or-treating and all the villains come out and the characters at nighttime. And if you did not buy one of those tickets and you show up to the park and that's the day they're doing it, you're a little bit out of luck there and you got to leave. So pay attention. If you're going to go during the fall time, and if you decide you want to get those tickets, look up when they go on sale, because people will like, they're wild and those things sell out quickly. But if you don't want to go, like we don't do that. It's overrated for us, right? It's like, I'm not going to spend extra bajillion dollars for 3 hours while my kids are probably falling asleep anyway. Like it's not worth it. We pay attention to the time and make sure that we aren't going to be kicked out. So if we do have the energy to do a fireworks show or something, we're good to go. Now, the third time of year to consider is the mid-November, like right when Halloween comes down, they flip it to Christmas. And the Christmas decorations stay up till about the first week of January. It is so magical. It is everything, like there's smells of peppermint in the air. There's magic that happens at night. I don't even want to share because I don't want to give it all away, but it is just so great if you are Christmas people. It is just the energy, the spirit. And it's like pagan, and I hate saying it because I'm a Catholic. I love me. Jesus is all, what, Christmas, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. But it's not, it's a more of the pagan, I would describe that, the word, just like it's not, there's no Jesus in the parade. You got Santa Claus. You know what I mean? It's darling though. So darling. And the food too, they'll like make the food very Christmassy and oh, it's just fabulous. Great time of year to consider. So three times there for you. Now the question would be, how many days should I be going with my kids? And I've done it all. Like I've said, I've done the one day. I've even done like a half day. I've done multiple days. The magic number is 3 days. One park per day. You could do Disneyland for a full day. Then you go do Disney's California Adventure for a full day. And then on the third day, I would recommend to everyone to get a park hopper. Get everyone park hoppers for the third day. And right starting at 11 a.m., you can start going back and forth to the different parks. So pick where you want to start. maybe it's Disneyland to go hop on a ride that had a bit of a line or something, but that you can go back and forth. Great way to navigate taking the family and feeling like you've really maximized your experience. One thing about that is you cannot just go on, I wish, you can't just go online and buy 2 days of parks, third day park hopper. It's a little different. So if you're going to do this route I'm suggesting to you, I would actually call the Disneyland Park Planning Services to ask and request to have this as your ticket set up and see if there's the best deal available. So because if you try to do it online and say, hey, I'm going to do two parks and then a third park, you will not get the best deal. You will not online. You have to call them to let them know, because as the longer you go, the more days you go to the parks, that you get a discount for like each day you're going. But online, it doesn't understand how to process that type of algorithm. So you're going to want to talk to a human being and be like, listen, I want to go for 3 days, but I only want that third day to be a park hopper and I want to get the deal. And Disney, when you talk to them on the phone, they're going to give you the best deal. I promise you. I've had it happen where I tried to do this. I made this mistake and I was like, whoa, I just spent $150 more per person because I paid for this extra day. What the hoo-ha, ba-da? So I called and they were fabulous and they fixed it and they refunded me and we've corrected everything and I was great and I saved a ton of money. So call to do that. I know it's weird and I can't, oh my God, you have to talk to somebody. So sorry guys, but at least people are pumped up. They've had energy drinks. They've got pixie dust magic. They are hyped and ready to help you. Okay. I promise. All right. So now we're going to talk about where should you be staying and what to consider. There's like three segments I'll cover. So there's the Disney properties, Disney resort properties. There's these parks that they call good neighbor hotels that are literally right across the street from the parks. And then you've got a couple that are literally down the street where you take a bus and boop, you're there. The first layer will be those Disney resort properties. The benefit to staying at a Disney property is that for two of those, the hotels, you can actually walk right outside and boom, you're in Disney's California Adventure. So it's like quick access, direct access to the park if you want to go do that. And then you've got the other thing, too, is the early magic hours. So for any of the Disney resort properties you stay on, you get to go in an hour early before everybody else and try to get on some of those rides that might have a longer line or that your little kids want to go on and experience as a family before it gets packed. Great benefit. 100%. That is what you're paying for. You can't tell me otherwise. You're paying to get in early and you're paying for the access. There's three properties. The Grand California, that's like the Mac Daddy most luxurious of the three properties. And it's a beautiful hotel. The rooms are expensive, though. I mean, I'm talking like they start in the 600s and go up into the thousands. And the food there is great as well. You're not getting carnival pump out food at California, at the Grand California. There are some restaurants like the Napa Valley, a themed restaurant that does stunning, you know, steak meals. And yes, you can take your kid. Of course. Don't feel like you can't take your kids anywhere. This is Disney, okay? Take them with you. Don't worry about it. They got French fries and mac and cheese. They'll be fine. But Grand California is like the bougie. Hey, hey. And then you have the Disneyland Hotel, the OG Disney, like Walt Disney's vision. Way back in the day, fun fact, Disney wanted to build a chain kind of like Hilton across the U.S. and like do Disneyland hotels all across the U.S. And he wanted them all to be like Disney magic vibes. It didn't end up becoming a thing. That was like his original plan and dream. Pretty fun fact there. But so the Disneyland Hotel, very cute. It's just been refurbished. It's got a fantastic pool. So if you're the family that's thinking maybe you want to do 3 days and do one break in between to rest your tootsies, get your feet a little relaxed and ready to go for the third day, perhaps, or the set, whatever. That's a great park for that. You're going to pay for the early magic hours and the pool. The pool, 5 stars. Now, one other thing, my husband, we love a good cocktail, okay? They have this place called Enchanted Sam's. It's like a tiki-themed bar. fantastic cocktails, great food right there by the pool area. And it is, you can bring your kids in. You're not limited to kicking your kids out. A lot of cool stuff happens if you can get inside. So try to get a reservation to go inside. It is awesome. Great experience. 10 out of 10. You'll thank me later. Enchanted Sam's. So Disneyland Hotel, the one downside to this hotel, the rooms, well, I forgot, excuse me, to pricing out. You're talking like $500. You're talking about around $500 a night. So it's still expensive. But I'm being realistic with you all, $500. And then it goes up and up, and there's this club lounge level where you can go and get some snacks and stuff for your kids if that's your thing. But Disneyland Hotel, very cute though, in the Disney theme. The one thing now where I go to somewhat of a negative is it is the farthest away from the parks. It's ridiculous. Like, you actually have to go through downtown Disney, which isn't terrible. It's so fun. You know, it's downtown Disney. There's music. It's happening. It's fun. But it's like the walking when you're considering how you have little kids with you and your feet are going to be killing you by the end of the day. That park is nowhere near the Disney parks. You actually have to cut through about like a 10-minute walk. You know, if you're really moving, you could get there in 5, but 10-minute walk to get to the parks that day. So just be mindful of that. Now there's a third Disney property they just reopened called Pixar Place, and way more affordable than those two. Like, the rooms will be around $300 a night. Still expensive, but let me remind you, you're paying for the Magic Hour access, and then that one also has direct access to get into the Disney's California Adventure Park. So that one is probably like the best bang for your buck. Very cute themed in the Pixar. I haven't stayed there. I've only seen pictures, but I do know price-wise, they're a little bit more fair on the price at that particular park. And so now you have those top three tiers. Now, if you're not necessarily, it's a make or break to go get in early and you want to save a little more money, I have the best recommendation on the planet. This is what I do this with my family, and I've done it before I had kids. Like, 10 out of 10 is the Camelot Inn. And then there's also one next door called the Tropicana Inn. They're very similar, but love the Camelot Inn. It is literally across the street from the parks. It's closer than Disneyland Hotel. You push the little button, you walk across the street, and pa-pow, you're right there at the parks, at the entry. So amazing bang for your buck. The price for these rooms, are you guys sitting down right now? For an unbusy, if you're going to just do like one room, which comes with like your bed, it even comes with like a pull-out bed, couch, plenty of space to be able to make a mess during your couple of days, $160 a night. $160 a night. Now, here's where it gets even better. At the Camelot Inn, they have these family suites, and it's two rooms. So you can, in one room, it's two queen beds with a bathroom. The other room is like the main sitting area with a couch, like a pull-out bed, a whole extra pull-out bed, couch, coffee table, dining table, TV, the king bed is in that room. So it's about $300 a night. It's getting up there, but the space is everything. And the other piece for the parents who have little kids, if you know you've got to get them to bed, but you and dad want to stay up a little bit more, you can turn the lights off, put them in that room. And, you know, we bring our owl with the sound machine. We bring them all the things. We got the monitor all set up in there. And then mom and dad can have some fun privacy and chat and still stay up a little bit later because you've got that second room. So the Camelot Inn. And then if you're looking for one third option, just down the street, about a quarter of a mile, are the Hilton and Sheratons of the world. So if you've got points and you want to cash them in, those Hiltons and Sheratons, they're not charging $1 billion. Like, they're massive convention center-esque hotel rooms. So they're like $200-$250 a night. So if you've got the points and you want to save the money, there's a bus you can also take that will pick you up right there. You do have to pay for it. I think it's like $5 for the week, but or something like that. And the bus will pick you up, drop you off, shows up right. It picks you up right at the Disney parks and drops you off right there. It's excellent for those of you who have the points. Okay, so now you've considered where to stay. Now I want to talk about the dining element of these parks. There are three options for you here to consider as you budget out. Sit-down dining, meaning you make a reservation up to 60 days in advance where you can actually go in and there's character dining where you get to sit down and the characters of Chippendale, Mickey, Minnie literally will walk up to your table and your kids can take pictures. They'll freak out. They'll cry. I don't know what's going to happen to your kids. It could be anything, right? But that's where the sit down. You can do the character dining experiences. Those are very expensive. And let me be clear, you are not paying for the quality of the food. You are paying for the character dining experience. Okay. The food is left. What is that saying? You know, left to the imagination. There's room to be had. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. All right. So character dining. Great if you want your kids to just get that. Now, there's other reservations you can make that aren't character dining. And you just want to sit down, give your feet a rest, air conditioned, things to consider. And then if you're going to do that, one other thing, forgive me. Another reservation you can make with dining is a package where you can then go to a fireworks show or at Disney's California Adventure, they do Wonderful World of Color show, water show that's like blows the Bellagio water show out of the water. Stunning stuff. And you can reserve like a better viewing area so you're not stressing out to like fight for a spot with the Disney adults that just don't get it and don't want to move for your kids. So if you want to save yourself the stress of that, you can pay extra to also do these packages and get like a reserved area for your family for the shows. For those, now I've covered that sit-down dining, the reservation piece, 60 days in advance, you need to set your calendar. You need to set your calendar for the day you're going to be in that park. That's 60 days out. For that day, wake up at 6 a.m., make your reservation because it goes fast. If you know you guys want to dine at lunchtime, if you know you want to dine at dinner time, they're based on time frames. So do the best you can to get your reservation. And if you miss the boat and you didn't do that 60-day in advance thing, I'm going to tell you it's not the end of the world, I promise. Because a lot of people will make a reservation just to make sure they've secured it. And if you don't want to move forward with it, you can actually cancel your reservation up until about the day before. And then if you do it, if it's like the day of when you cancel, they just charge your card like $25-$50 or something like that. So in other words, don't give up hope. Just keep checking the dining reservations and, you know, like set a reminder to yourself to check in and really get aggressive a couple days before if it still hasn't happened. And because it's usually a couple days before when the reservations will drop and you'll get to see a spot open up. And even if it's the day of and you guys are like, well, let's try, let's see, you never know, you might get lucky. So just be mindful of that. And then there's that other side of it that I've now told you. You could book the reservation and you can always cancel. So if you're not quite sure and you want to just make sure you secure your spot, do it and then know that you can cancel. Okay, so if you're not going to do a dining reservation, the other thing you can consider for the parks is mobile ordering. This is like the more food friendly, bougie, amazing, like I call it carnival food, like bougie carnival food. But, you know, the hot dogs, the burgers, they do salads. They've got tons of healthy food, by the way, at the parks nowadays, gluten-free, allergy-free, like they're all over it. So I have some close friends who have children with extreme nut allergies and dairy allergies. They're very, very transparent on their website about the foods. And you telling them that your kid has allergies, like they're very transparent and cool about it. But so mobile ordering's awesome. At first, when this opened, I was started. I was like, "What the hell is this?" But what is it? Let me explain. You open up your phone, this Disneyland app, and on the app, you can place an order at multiple like kiosks in the park that you're in for food that you'd want to go get. So if you're in line and everyone's starting to get a little grumpy and hungry from being in line, you can start to place your order for like corn dogs and diet, like you want to get the Diet Coke, if you want to get some apples, like whatever, you know, your family's going to want to get. And then it'll tell you, okay, this is the window of time for you to come and check in and pick up your order. And it's never like hours out, by the way, it's usually within like 45 minutes and you're all set and it charges your card and everything online. So all you do is walk up to the mobile order station and you check in, you show them your number, and boom, your food is ready to go. it's just a way to try to get ahead of you ordering your food so you're not standing in a long line. And it really is awesome. And let's say you are like right there and you want to order your food right now, but it's a mobile ordering kiosk. You can't pay right there in person. You easily can just place your order and then check in and show them your number. And they'll, even if it had a different time for you to go get your food, you could still get it. Okay. So don't freak out about the time thing. That's just a deterrent. And then the last piece, not everything is mobile ordering, by the way. It's not like just dining reservations and mobile ordering. There are still old school, like you go get in line, get some popcorn. You go get in line, get the famous Disney pickle at 10 out of 10, spicy pickle, boop, boop. There's still those two. But I just love a good mobile order for when you're trying to, you got the whole group there. And again, when we talk about budget management, your eyes are on the price. Your eyes are on the price and you're not being uncomfortable in the moment and telling Timmy to go put that empanada back. So then there's the third piece here is bringing your own food. You can actually bring your own food to the parks. And this is what we do with our kids. We bring snacks for days. We're in line. Seems to be the most convenient time that your kids tell you you're hungry, and we know it. So, you know, we've got Cheez-Its. We bring Goldfish. We do the prepackaged little bags. We do energy bars. We do like the whole grain bar. We've done many different things, apple pouches. And we've also brought those as like a pivot for if, you know, you order the mac and cheese for your kid at the dining and they don't want it. You've got pivot food in your backpack or your bag you can give your kid. So you can bring your own food into the parks 100%. Yes, you can. It's a great, and absolutely take advantage of that. Now, where does this all live? There's this Disneyland app that you can download. You're going to need to download it. It's where it will house all of your tickets. If you're staying at a hotel property on site, your hotel reservations are there. Your dining reservations live there. That's where you'll go to make the dining reservation. And then the other key last piece that I'm going to discuss with you all is the park wait times. So in this Disneyland app, where you place your mobile ordering, you make your reservations, you buy your tickets, you do all the things, and it's all living in one place for you. You can also click to see how long the wait times are for the rides or if a ride is closed. And I just wanted to share this tip to you all today that sometimes it'll say a ride is going to be like a 60-minute wait, and you show up 95% of the time, the wait is nowhere near that long. I promise. You've heard it here first. It's usually like half of that. You know, I've never had it happen where it was like the full hour. It's usually like 30 minute, you know, maybe 45, but you know, they'll give a card to someone who's at the end of the line, and then they go up to get to the front, give the card back, and that clocks how long the lines are. And I've never had it happen where that's the case. So just do not let that deter you from going and trying to wait in a line before you decide to pay for a Lightning Lane multipass. And now I'm going to talk about that last part here, the Lightning Lane multipass. This years ago, Disney was awesome. They had this thing called a Fast Pass. It was free. Oh, God. Remember when things were free and you just like paid to go to a park and it was like, oh, my God, it's part of your ticket cost. It's just not like that anymore. But they used to have Fast Pass. You go, you put your ticket in. It'll tell you, OK, come back to Indiana Jones between 4 and 4:30 and you're set. So they've digitized that now. And it's on the Disney app, and now you pay a fee. So if you want to try to cut a line, or not cut lines, but just maximize time for some of the more popular rides, you can pay for this Lightning Lane multipass. It's something like $30 a day, though the prices fluctuate. That's the other part that I'm not a huge fan of, and I apologize. It's just, you know, I can't tell you exactly what the cost is because based on how busy it is, the price will go up or down on those. And it's complicated. Do some research on it, but you can pay to try to get ahead of some lines and skip the time. I don't recommend this. If you're at with your family, you guys, I promise you're gonna have a great time. It's not gonna make or break a day. I mean, so what? You get 20 minutes back? What are you gonna do? Like, you could go get in line for another ride. I mean, you're going to be waiting in line. This is like what it is. You should be knowing that in advance. Like the whole, you're at a park, you're going to have to wait. Pick some games, you know, invest in like the snacks and catchphrase is a great game for when you're in line. You know, think about, you know, fun stuff like that. And play some games while you're hanging out in line. People watching at its best, you know, get to know the people in your line. All the fun stuff, right? So just, it's not going to make or break a trip if you pay for that Lightning Lane stuff. But that is where it will live, is on the Disneyland app. So we've now covered where things to consider about where to stay, things to consider about foods, things to consider about when to go and how many days. You are going to do an amazing job planning your trip. You don't necessarily have to pay someone to plan it for you. If it's too overwhelming, I get it. There are people who have offer free services to help get this going for you. You know, lean in on it. But if you're also looking for more detailed advice, if you visit freedomflareco.com, we actually have an entire Disney park section that will tell you what to consider bringing, all the knickknacks, all the other additional things to be thinking about as you invest in your trip. And then we also have a place where if you want, have questions that you want answered from like the Disney pro herself here, but I'm not a jaded Disney adult. So if you're looking for the real deal, Holyfield right here, I am your girl. Hit me up on there, joey@freedomflareco.com. But also if you're visiting our site, there's a spot where you can drop us a line and we're happy to help consult you on getting your trip started and going. And that is it. That is the Disney magic. My favorite line I'm going to end on is Walt Disney so perfectly said, if you can dream it, you can do it. So think about how much your budget's going to be and just know that you're about to have the best time ever with your family. And I will end the last hype on the if you could dream it, you can do it. If things do go wrong, which they probably will, just continue to go with the flow. Disney is all about having fun. And the moment you let any of the plans you make that may go a teeny bit awry, go like ruin the trip, you can lose control real quick of feeling the joy and excitement that the parks are meant to give you and the family. So go with the flow. And if things go wrong, it's okay. Just keep going with it. Go get some ice cream and enjoy yourselves. And we'll have lots of other more detailed episodes about these Disney parks, for like way more details about the foods and the different restaurants in the time to come. But this is your top level. If you could dream it, you can do it. Book that trip. You've got this. All right, everybody. That wraps up this episode. Take care. Catch you next time.